Morning. Everyone get a good night's sleep last night. Appreciate the upbeat songs this morning. So we need everyone to be alert today, if any day, hopefully every day, but especially this morning. We are up to talking about the kings of Israel and Judah, the divided kingdom. I think we kind of laid the groundwork yesterday just to make sure everyone understands and we're all on the same page that under Saul, David, and Solomon, we had a united kingdom of Israel. But then when Rehoboam, Solomon's son, came to the throne, he laid burdens on the people that they couldn't bear. There was a revolt, and we have a splitting of the kingdom into a northern kingdom, which we call Israel, and a southern kingdom, which we call Judah. And throughout the books of 1 and 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, we have a chronicling of each of these kings of both nations until Israel falls in 722 or 723 BC, and then Judah falls in 586 BC. And we have a lot of information there about the lengths of reigns of each of these kings. And we have information about synchronization between the kings of the north and the kings of the south. So in other words, we can see here, if you look at your kings of Judah, there on sheet 34 in the handout, you'll see Rehoboam reigned for 17 years, and then Abijah reigned for 3 years, beginning in the 18th year of Jeroboam, who was the king at that time in the northern kingdom of Israel. So that's the pattern we have here. Now, the problem that we have is that, and it's not a problem, it's an apparent problem, is that when you look down through these lengths of reigns and these synchronizations, it appears that there's contradictions there. It appears that it doesn't match up. But as I pointed out yesterday, that's just on the surface. We need to understand, like we've talked about before, we need to understand what these numbers mean. And that's what we're going to try to do this morning. And yesterday I referenced a man named Edwin Thiel. And he published this book first in 1951. Actually, he wrote a paper publishing his findings in 48 or 49. And then the book came out in 1951, and it's had two revisions since then. And I really like his approach, and his chronology is very well respected among Bible scholars. And I like his approach because his approach was to not assume, as many scholars do, that the numbers in the Bible that we have are hopelessly wrong, but to assume they're right and try to understand what they mean. And so what we're going to do this morning, because I don't know any better way to do it to really drive the point home, is we're going to, if time allows, work through the kings of Israel and Judah from the split in 930 BC to 841 BC. And why 841 BC? Well, let's look on your chart here. And if you look at Judah, whose reign ended in 841 BC? Ahaziah is one I was really after there, because he reigned for only a year. So Ahaziah, okay, now if you flip over to, and I might suggest, I didn't plan this, but it kind of worked out this way, that if you take in your handout, and this is the pages 34 and 35. If you take this sheet right here and flip it over, then you'll have in front of you the first few kings of each kingdom. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So you might want to do that so that you'll easily be able to go back and forth between the two. Yeah. No, there's not. Sorry.
It is on the website. Thank you. We'll help at the moment.
So if you want to do that, if you want to have your pen or pencil handy, we're going to, it might be good to take notes, and there'll be a couple of additions to the table there also. Yes? I'm going to get to that. Okay. Yeah, NA does not mean not applicable. So, all right, so let's get to that here. And I'm going to do an illustration, first of all, to explain the A and the NA. What that stands for is A is accession year reckoning, and NA is non-accession year reckoning, okay? And that turns out to be very important. We need to understand what these numbers mean. Now, as a simple illustration, if we go back to when Ronald Reagan first became president of the United States, what year was he inaugurated as president? 1981. Okay. So we'll put 1981. This is Ronald Reagan. Okay. When was the next president after Ronald Reagan, who was George Bush, right? When was he inaugurated? 1989. Okay. Now that was in the year 1989. So actually Ronald Reagan also was president into the first part of 1989, right? It's January 21st. Is that Inauguration Day? Okay. So then we have George, and we'll put H. Is that right, Bush? So we'll be able to tell them apart when we get there. That's right for him, right? Then who was next? Clinton, exactly. And he was inaugurated in 1993, and he served two terms. Until 2001, when, and that's Bill Clinton. Okay? And then in 2001, we have the other George Bush, George W. Bush. Okay? And he served from early in 2001 through early in 2009. Okay? And then in 2009, we won't show because his time as president just started. We won't show Barack Obama. But if someone asks you how much time passed from when Ronald Reagan became president until George W. Bush's time as president ended and Barack Obama was inaugurated, what would you tell them? 28 years. Exactly 28 years, right? Okay, it was exactly 28 years from when Ronald Reagan was inaugurated in January 1981 until Obama was inaugurated in January of 2009. Okay, they didn't keep track of the lengths of reigns of kings that way back then. There were two methods in use in that time. One was accession year reckoning, and in accession year reckoning, they said that, and what they do is they count each calendar year in which that king reigned, okay? And in accession year reckoning, they don't count the first. They say that was his accession year, and so we won't start counting until the second calendar year in which he reigned. So in the case of Ronald Reagan here, the year 1981, they wouldn't count at all for him, okay? That was his accession year. They would start counting in 1982, and they would say he was president in 82, he was president in 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, and he was president in 1989. Only for 3 weeks, but he was president in 1989. So by accession year reckoning, we have 8 years, which is good. Okay? So if we continue on down accession year reckoning, we have eight, we have four, we have eight, we have eight, and we get the answer we want, which is 28. Now, another method that was in practice at that time was non-accession year reckoning. And in non-accession year reckoning, you count each calendar year in which the king served, including the first and last year in which they served. So in the case of Ronald Reagan, how many different calendar years did he serve? 9, exactly. And the pattern continues. And we end up with 32. Now, you can see how if you had two different nations, one was keeping track one way and the other was keeping track the other way, how it doesn't take very many reigns of kings before you're out of sync with each other. And just and even if just one of them is using non-accession year and you're trying to keep track of how many years passed from this king to that king, you're adding a year for every king in the list, and you can get down to the bottom of a list of 12 kings, and you're off by 12 years. And then it's made even worse if you're trying to compare it to another kingdom that's keeping track the other way, and you can end up way out of sync. So that's a very important thing that we have to understand, is which method were they using? Were they both kingdoms using the same method? And not only that, did they both use the same method throughout all that period of time there, or did they switch? And it turns out that at the beginning they were not using the same method, and then Judah switched for a period of time to using the same method as Israel, and then they both switched back to the method that Judah had used in the beginning. And, you know, I got to give credit to this guy for having the patience and the faith in the numbers that they were right to take the time and analyze this and figure it out. And what's really cool about the examples that we're the period of time we're going to go through this morning is we'll see the evidence right there staring us right in the face in the Bible for this. Now, the other thing, one of the other things we have to consider is co-regencies, and that's when two kings were reigning at the same time. And there could be various reasons for that, and we'll have two examples of that in the period of time that we're talking about this morning. And we'll find, once again, that the Bible, it's right there. It's right there in the Bible, the information that we need to figure this out and understand it. It's not easy, and I give this guy a lot of credit for figuring this out, and it works out very, very neatly. So let's get started with mapping this out. And I might just jump ahead here a little bit. If you look on page 38 there, and I talk here about synchronizing with secular events where we have known dates there, and you go down about a third of the way through that paragraph there at the bottom, we have two events in Assyrian history where we have reliable dates for those events, and there are dates where in the Assyrian record, and there's a lot of places in Assyrian history where they mention kings of Israel and Judah. But there's two events here in particular. The first is an Assyrian record that lists Ahab as one of the kings who joined forces against Assyria in the Battle of Karkar, if that's pronounced right, which has been determined to have taken place in 853 B.C., because it's in the sixth year of that king of Assyria. It's Shalmaneser III. Secondly, there's an Assyrian record of Jehu paying tribute in the 18th year of Shalmaneser III. The two kings between Ahab and Jehu, if we look in our list here, Ahaziah and Joram have reigns of 2 years and 12 years, respectively. So the only way that this could be possible is if Ahab fought the battle at Karkar in the last year of his reign, and Jehu paid tribute in the first year of his reign, and it could only be true if non-accession year dating was in place in Israel at that time. So that locks us in BC, and it also points to non-accession year dating being used at that time in Israel, and it locks us in where we are in time, so we can work forward and backward from that point and get our dates BC during that period of time. So I wanted to go ahead and point that out. And the other thing, I said we're going to go down to 841 BC, and then I kind of skipped to something else, I think, and didn't finish that thought. We have in the southern kingdom Ahaziah's reign ending at that time, and Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, taking the throne for a period of 6 years. In the northern kingdom, that was the southern kingdom. In the northern kingdom, we have Joram, his reign ending in that year. Now, what do those two kings have in common? Joram of Israel and Ahaziah of Judah. No, what they suffered the same fate. They were both killed by Jehu, as commanded by God to wipe out the family of Ahab. And he killed them both, it appears, on the same day. And the account of that is in 2 Kings chapter 9. Both of them were killed at the same time. So that gives us a reference point where we should be able to come down to that point in both lines of kings and get to the same year where they died. Now, if you just look at it on the surface and you add up the lengths of reigns in the southern kingdom, you'll come up with, I believe, 95. And if you do it in the northern kingdom, you'll come up with 98. So we can see there, you know, some of this stuff going on where we're getting out of sync. And, of course, it would just get worse and worse if we kept going on down in time from there. But just in that first period of time, we're already off 3 years on the two. Okay, so let's start working through this. Do we have, is that lapel mic up here? So I'm going to have to. Okay, thank you. So I'm going to be standing at the board here. Okay, what I'm going to put on the board here, and I hope we have time to go through this, is I'm going to put across the board on the top, the kings of Judah, and then the kings of Israel on the bottom. And for each of those, I'm going to have two rows. I'm going to have one be how the reigns would look, how the reigns were recorded in Judah, and how the reign was recorded in Israel. And I'm going to have that for each of the two kings. So there's going to be four rows across the board here. How's that?
No.
Oh, that could be a problem. Just put it in my mouth. How is that? Can you hear me okay?
Crank it up a little bit. Okay,
so this is Judah's. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you're in the front row. Can you hear me in the back?
I'm not hearing anybody's response. Oh, there's no light on. Okay, on. There we go.
That sounds better. Okay. Okay, now we're going to show across the top Judah's record for the kings of Judah and Israel's record for the kings of Judah. And if you look on your chart here, you'll see that Judah is using accession year reckoning and Israel's using non-accession year reckoning during that time. And we already already stated how we know that Israel's using non-accession year reckoning. And accession year reckoning in Judah, he was able to determine just by looking at the numbers that that is how it works out. So the first year of Rehoboam's reign in Judah would be right here. And this would be his accession year. In Israel, they would record this year as Rehoboam's first year. And this year would be his second year. Okay? We're not going to show all the years, so we'll do an arrow. And how many years did Rehoboam reign?
17.
And he was a king of Judah who was using this system. So that's 17 years per their system. Okay? But if you were keeping records down in Israel, they would say that was 18 years. Okay? I got to throw another variable out there. I was hoping this wouldn't come into play, but it does. Okay, the other thing that comes into play here is when did they count their calendar year? Now, for us, it's January to January. In Israel, among the Jews, and I think I made a note of this back in the Jewish calendar, there's actually two possibilities. There's the ecclesiastical new year, which begins with the month Nisan, as God directed in Exodus. But in a lot of times in civil matters, Tishrei or Tishrei, however it's pronounced, the seventh month is used as the first month of the calendar year. And as it turns out, in his analysis, he determined that one of the kingdoms was using Nisan and the other kingdom was using Tishrei. So, and again, I was hoping this wouldn't come into play, but it actually does almost right off the bat. So what we're going to do is we're going to show for the kings of Israel an offset of 6 months or of half a year. So we're going to come down here, and this is the kings of Israel down here. This is Rehoboam, as recorded in Judah and Israel. And now we're going to come down here and look at Jeroboam, as recorded in Judah and Israel. And the kings of Israel are offset by 6 months. So we're going to try to show that here. And in Judah, this would be his first year recorded. Israel, this would be his first year. This will be his second. Not doing a very good job of keeping that offset, am I? I made bigger squares up there than I did down here. So that one was all right. Should be like that. Okay. 1, 1, 2. As recorded in Judah and Israel. We'll just go ahead and show 2 and 3. Okay. And so they both started at the same time. And when we get over here to the 17th and 18th years, if you will, of Rehoboam, down here for the reign of Jeroboam, okay, we are 18 and 19. Okay. Now, what does the record tell us about when this next king up here came to the throne? Exactly. In the 18th year of Jeroboam. And that's a Judah king, okay? So his first official year would be right here because we're using accession year dating. But he actually came to the throne in this year, sometime in that year, okay? So if we bring a line down here, as Judah recorded, because we're talking about a king of Judah, as Judah would have recorded it, that was the 18th year of Jeroboam. Does that make sense? If it was in the last half of that year that he came to the throne. Okay? So, in this king up here, what was his name? Abijah? Abijah? Thank you.
He served for... Served?
I'm talking about presidents. He reigned for 3 years, right?
Right.
Okay. And so this is how Judah would record it. Now, Israel would record it. They would say, okay, he came to the throne in this year. So we're going to count that year, too. So Israel would say this was year one of was it Abijah? Abijah is what I call it. And so this would be his second, third, and fourth years. Okay? That's how it would be recorded in Israel. And then down here we've got Jeroboam's reign continuing, as recorded by both. Okay. Now let's look at the next king in the northern kingdom after this guy. And who was that? Asa. Okay. So starting right here, we have Asa. So Judah would record that as his first year. But we know that Judah was using accession year reckoning. So he came to the throne actually in that year, right? And what does the record tell us about the year of Jeroboam that he came to the throne? The 20th year. So as Judah was keeping track of it, it's right here. So sometime in the first half of that year here, in the 20th year, as Judah was keeping track of it, of Jeroboam, Abijah came to the throne, or Asa came to the throne, okay? But the first official year is this one right here. Now, the way Judah would say it is they would say this was his accession year, and they would count that as his first year, and they would count this as his second year, okay? All right. Now if we go to our kings of Israel, who was the king after Jeroboam? Nadab, okay? And how long did Jeroboam reign? 22 years, as he's a kingdom of Israel, so that's how they're keeping track of it. So he reigned 22 years, and then he was succeeded by Nadab. And the way they keep track of it is, this was the year that Nadab came to the throne, right here. Okay? Well, that's the year he came to the throne, but they would count that as his first year, and this as his second year. And when does it say that Nadab came to the throne? Second year of Asa, okay? So per their record, and this is their record for Asa, second year. Okay? Now, if you were just adding up the years, you know, just looking at them on the surface, you already would have been off at this point. But you can see how this is working out when we understand where the numbers are coming from. So how long did Nadab serve for?
2 years.
2 years, okay? And he's the king of Israel, so that's as recorded by Israel. So that would be year one, year two. If Judah was recording it, they would say he only reigned for 1 year, this year right here. Okay? And so that was Nadab. Let's just go right. This is Jeroboam. It'll get a little more interesting here in a minute. But we have to get through this to get there. Okay. And what's cool is some stuff's going to come out that it's like, wow. Yeah. Okay. So Nadab was only 1 year, and then he was followed by who? We're in the kingdom of Israel. Baasha, okay? And so, I'm sorry, Nadab was 2 years per Israel's records, okay? So right here, and then Baasha would have come to the throne in this year. So we got... So we got Nadab stuck in there. Okay, he actually came to the throne in this year, over here. Okay, and then Baasha came to the throne in this year. That would have been counted as his first year in Israel. This would have been counted as his second year in Israel. But this would have been counted as his first year in Judah. Okay, and what does it say about when Nadab came to the throne? Third year of Asa, right? Baasha. Right. This was the year he came to the throne, as recorded in Israel. So we go to Israel's records for Asa, and we have third year of Asa. Okay, now we got, thankfully, a couple of long reigns, so we can put in some arrows here out to the... And how long did Baasha reign for?
24 years.
Okay. So we're going to bring it out to the 24th year of Baasha, as recorded by Israel, because he's a king of Israel. Okay? But in Judah, they would have said that was the 23rd year of Baasha. And at that point in time, we've added 22 here, so we're going to add 22 here to that point. That would have been year 25, as recorded by Israel, for Asa. And year 24, as recorded by Judah, for Asa. So then this would have been 26. And this would be 25 for Asa. So who came after Baasha in Israel?
Elah.
Elah, okay. So in Judah, they would have said this was his first year. In Israel, he came to the throne sometime during the last year that Baasha was king. So this was his accession year. And what year of Asa was that? 26. Okay. Now in Israel, again, this was his accession year. They would count that as year one, and they would count this as year two. Okay. So, and he only reigned for how long? Two years, as recorded by Israel. Okay. So the next guy would have come to the throne in this year right here. That would have been counted as his first year in Israel. This is his second year in Israel. But this would have been counted as his first year in Judah. Okay? Now, here's where it gets interesting. On your sheet there, who is listed as that next king? Zimri. Okay, it doesn't get interesting yet. Zimri only reigned for... Well, yeah, it does actually. Zimri only reigned for 7 days. Now, if we look at the record for Zimri, do you remember who Zimri was and how he came to the throne? Murder, exactly. He was a servant of Baasha, and he murdered him and took the throne, but it only lasted for 7 days. And then the commander of the army, who was Omri, he came, and Zimri, seeing that it was hopeless for him, he burned down the king's house and died in the fire himself. And then we have a split here. We have a rival reign. And we might just look at that here because it's pretty interesting, and it turns out to be pretty important in understanding these numbers. That's in 2 Kings. Where is it? I'm sorry, 1 Kings 16. Yeah, that's where it is. Yes?
As you're drawing, you may want to step to the left. Oh!
I'm sorry. So I'm blocking you guys the whole time, aren't I? I'm sorry about that. Okay, so 1 Kings chapter 16. And we're going to start in verse 15. In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri had reigned in Tirzah 7 days. Okay, so this is we had Yeah, I skipped Elah there. Elah was the king that got murdered. I'm sorry about that. That was Elah that was the king that got murdered. He is the guy right here. Okay. And then Zimri came to the throne for just 7 days. So let's look at verse 15 here. In the 27th year of Asa, so as recorded by Israel, this is year 27 of Asa. And sure enough, this will be, it would be right here is where Zimri came to the throne for just 7 days. Okay. It says, Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, this is verse 16, king over Israel that day in the camp. Then Omri and all Israel went with him, went up from Gibbethon, and they besieged Tirzah. And it happened when Zimri saw that the city was taken, he went to the citadel of the king's house and burned the king's house down upon himself with fire and died because of sins which he had committed in doing evil in the sight of the Lord and walking in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin which he had committed to make Israel sin. Rest of the acts of Zimri, the treason he committed, are they not written in the chronicles of the kings of Israel? Then the people of Israel, verse 21, were divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people who followed Omri prevailed over the people who followed Tibni, the son of Ginath. So Tibni died, and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, Omri became king over Israel and reigned 12 years. 6 years he reigned in Tirzah. And this apparently has been the cause of a lot of confusion over the years. It says Omri became king in the 31st year of Asa. Okay, all this events we talked about, that 7 days happened right in here. I already kind of jumped ahead and put in the first year of Omri, kind of letting the cat out of the bag here a little bit. But and what this gives us here is the Bible is telling us right here explicitly we've got a dual reign here between Omri and Tibni. And the Bible is showing us here, if we look at it, that we know that that had to have started in the 27th year of Asa. Okay, but it gives the reign of Omri as being 12 years. Well, the Bible is showing us here how it does what Thiel calls dual dating. And the technique for dual dating, and it turns out to be consistent throughout the reigns of the kings, is when there's a co-regency, the first year of the, when it says that he came to the throne in such and such year of the king of the other kingdom, that is the first year of his sole reign. But when it gives the length of his reign, it includes the time that he was co-regent before he became a sole ruler. And that's very, very important. And the Bible right here, if we see it, is putting it right there. This is how I'm going to record it, so be looking for this in the future. When you see something that's out of sync, look for there to be a co-regency. And look at that length of reign, look at when they came to the throne, and you'll see that if you slide that length of the reign back, and you'll see that there was a co-regency there. And in fact, in this first 89 years we're going through, we will see another example of that come up here, and we've already laid the groundwork for it here. Does that make sense? Okay. Because we find out if we try to put the first year of Omri's reign as being the 31st year of Asa, how long did Omri reign for? 12 years. So the next king after him, which was Ahab, when would he have come to the throne in terms of Asa? If Omri started in the 31st year of Asa, and Ahab started 12 years later, after Omri's reign, that would have been the 43rd year of Asa, except Asa didn't reign for 43 years. He reigned 41. The next king after him was Jehoshaphat. Then the first year of Ahab should have been the second year of Jehoshaphat if the 12 years of Omri began in the 31st year of Asa. But what does the Bible tell us was the first year of Ahab? The 38th year of Asa. So only 8 years after this point right here, not 12. But when we look in the Bible there and see that 4 years prior to that was when Omri and Tibni were made rival kings in Israel, then there's that 4 years right for us there. And we see the pattern that the Bible is going to use in dual dating, where the first year that it says that they came to the throne is the year when they became sole ruler, but they give the total length of their reign, including the co-regency. So the Bible is spelling it out for us right here, what in very explicit terms, if we see it, how to look for those co-regencies in the future here. Does that all make sense? Now, I'm also going to point out here that Thiel goes to some length at this point to really discredit the Septuagint, the Greek translation that was made of the Bible. Because Septuagint, it gives the first year of Ahab, as being the second year of Jehoshaphat. And it's when you see this all, which is what we said, where we said it would have been, if you put 12 years of Omri's reign in there, that would have put you up to, if it started in the 31st year, if that 12 years started in the 31st year of Asa, that would have put you to the second year of Jehoshaphat. And so it's kind of obvious that they didn't understand what was going on here, and so they fabricated that to make it look like it matched on the surface, not understanding the dual dating that was going on here. And then that leads to other problems later on in the reigns of the kings. So a clue that he points to there is there's one verse inserted. I think it's 1 Kings 16. I can't remember where it is exactly, but there's a verse inserted in there about Omri. And then it skips, and then it tells about Omri in the Septuagint. So I just point that out there as people for many years have thought the Bible was messed up. And the information is right there for us to see and understand where these numbers are coming from. And that's the whole key to figuring this out, is just understanding what the numbers mean. Okay, so understanding that, then we know then that Omri, and actually for a period of 4 years, Tibni, and you may want to add him in there on your list. I should have probably included him. There was a rival reign with Tibni for 4 years, from the 27th year of Asa to the 31st year of Asa. But we're going to call this the first year. This is the first year of Omri. But understand that the first 4 years of that, it was a rival reign with Tibni. So that's the first year of Omri. And we're running out of room here. And Omri reigned for how long? 12 years. And he was the king of Israel. So that's 12 years according to Israel's dating system. So right here. But Judah would say 11 years. Now, if we carry this over, we added 10 here, so we're going to add 10 here. So okay. And then who is the king after Omri? Ahab, exactly. And when did he come to the throne? 38th year of Asa. So he came to the throne. Israel, this would be his accession year right here. Judah would say this was his first year. Israel would say this was accession year. Israel would say this was his second year. He came to the throne in this year. And we can even see which half of the year he came to the throne. In the 38th year of Asa. Okay? So that works out. Now, I'm going to have to take this here and bring it over here and start over again. Not start over again, but continue on with a clean board. So has everyone who wanted to get this got it? I have it right here. I could make copies or something. Okay, so let's bring this over. We're still in Ace's reign here. 36, 37. Israel would say that was 37 and 38. And then, yeah. Okay. This was Omri. This is Asa still up here. Okay. And then Ahab comes to the throne right here. Right? Okay. Now, how many years did Asa reign?
41.
And he was the king of Judah. So that would be 41 as they recorded it. So that would be right here. Continue down here. Okay, Ahab came to the throne here. 2, 3, 4, 5, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. So Asa reigned 41 years as reckoned by Judah. And then who came to the throne?
Jehoshaphat.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and do this. I reserve the right to change it later when we get a little more information here. Okay, so Judah would say that's his first year. Israel would say this was his first year when he came to the throne. And in what year of Ahab did Jehoshaphat come to the throne? The fourth year, okay? So we can even again see which half of the year he came to the throne in the fourth year, as reckoned by Judah, of Ahab, he came to the throne, okay? Now, we're going to skip ahead a little bit here to year 16, 17, and 18. Of Jehoshaphat, which in Israel they would say that was 17, 18, and 19. And we added 15 here, so we'll add 15 here. This is 20, this is 21. How many years did Ahab reign? 22, and he was the king of Israel, so that's 22 years as determined by Israel. And he was succeeded by who? Ahaziah. And when did that happen? 17th year of Jehoshaphat. Okay, so everything's working out very nicely here.
would have been this year right here. So we can get the right half of the year. In the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, as reckoned by Israel, Ahaziah came to the throne in Israel. Okay? And how long was he on the throne? 2 years. Okay? So that year and that year, as reckoned by Israel. Okay? And then who came to the throne? Joram. Okay? So that would have been Israel would have said that was his first year, this was his second year. And in what year of Jehoshaphat? 18th year. So again, as reckoned by Judah, or as reckoned by Israel, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat. Okay. We're going to bring this over to the end of Jehoshaphat's reign. I forgot the best way to show this. Oh, it probably would, wouldn't it? Okay, so Ahab was to here. Okay, and then we had Ahaziah and Joram starting right here. Okay. All right. So Jehoshaphat reigned for how many years? 25 years, okay? And we have Joram coming to the throne in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat. Now, the king that came after Jehoshaphat was who? Jehoram. It's very confusing. We have kings by the same name in both kingdoms there. Now, if we bring this over and do the, we'll skip over because I'm running out of room. When did Jehoram in Judah come to the throne?
Fifth year of Joram.
Fifth year of Joram, okay? Got a little problem here. Here's the fifth year of Joram, as reckoned by Judah. Because we're talking about when a king of Judah came to the throne. Well, I added 4 to get to that. So, to be consistent, I need to add 4 here. And this becomes 22 and 23. Now, how long did Jehoshaphat reign? 25 years. So how could his successor come to the throne in the fifth year of Joram, king of Israel? We must have had a co-regency going on here. Okay? And again, consistent with the dual dating procedure, the fifth year of the reign here, I shouldn't start there. There's 2 ways this could be solved. Either it's a co-regency between Jehoshaphat and Jehoram, right, who came after Jehoshaphat, or it could have been a co-regency back here between Jehoshaphat and Asa. Now, does the Bible give us any clues on this? Well, I think it does. And someone turned to 1 Kings 15 and 23. And someone else turned to 2 Chronicles 16 and 12. And just someone read those when they get to this. Read first the 1 Kings first. 1 Kings 15, 23. Okay, so Asa in his old age was diseased in his feet. Now, what does 2 Chronicles tell us about that? Be a little more specific here.
Well,
Someone have that? Second Chronicles, what was it, 16 and 12?
And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe, yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord but the physicians.
Okay, so Second Chronicles tells us that he was diseased in his feet, it was severe, and when was it? 39th year of his reign. So maybe we have a clue here. Maybe number one should be back here in the 39th year of his reign. That would be 3 years earlier. We have a difference of 3 years we need to make up here. So in fact, I believe, and that's how Thiel has it, is that there was a co-regency back here in the last 3 years of Asa between Asa and Jehoshaphat. And consistent with the dual dating procedure, when it gave the first year of his reign, it was not back here. It was just like it did when we were talking about Omri. The first year given for his reign was the first year when he was the sole ruler, but when it gave the duration of the reign, it gave the total duration of 25 years here. And then that gets us up to the last king of Judah here, and I'm running out of before we get to that point where I wanted to stop it, which was, second to last, Jehoram, who reigned for 8 years, and then Ahaziah, who reigned for one, which takes us up to the 12th year of, as reckoned here, the 12th year of Joram. Now, you'll notice on your chart here that on the chart of the kings of Judah, that we have accession year reckoning for the first four kings, and then with Jehoram, we switch to non-accession year reckoning. Now, does that make sense? Does the Bible give us any clues about if that happened or why it happened? Well, I think maybe it does. Someone turn to 2 Kings 8 and 25, and someone else turn to 2 Kings 9 and 29. And this is speaking of Ahaziah. 2 Kings 8:25 and 9:29. Someone has 2 Kings 8:25. Go ahead and read it.
In the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahaz, king of Israel, Ahaziah, the son of Joram, king of Judah, began to reign.
So Ahaziah began to reign in what year of Joram? The 12th year. Now someone read 2 Kings 9 and 29. Okay, so now we have the same king, but now it says in the 11th year of Joram. So what looked like a mistake, maybe the Bible's telling us that we switch from accession to non-accession reckoning. And as it turns out, when you map these out, that's how it fits together, is when you make that change from accession to non-accession year reckoning. With Jehoram. Now, Jehoram, who did he marry? Jehoram, king of Judah. Who was his wife? Exactly, the daughter of Ahab, the king of Israel, who was using non-accession year reckoning during those years that Israel, or that Judah was using accession year reckoning. So maybe we have a reason why they switched there. Was this intermarrying between those two families and bringing a lot of the bad stuff from Israel, but maybe some of these methods of documenting, keeping records also with them at that time. So we made it. 2 minutes left. So I'll open it up. Yes, Tom.
If we don't take in the accession, non-accession, co-regencies, Do you have numbers on how far off you would be if you just tried to do it without those considerations?
Well, if you just add up the lengths of reigns to the death of Ahaziah and the death of Joram in Israel, which we both know they were both killed at the same time by Jehu, one of them, the kings of Judah, adds up to 95. The kings of Israel adds up to 98. So you're off 3 years already.
So it's off, but it's not off by a lot.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
You mentioned the Septuagint being inaccurate. You think? Can you expand on that a little bit? Do you think maybe they didn't catch this, is what you're saying?
That's Thiel's theory, is that they didn't understand the dual dating procedure, and so they were trying to make the numbers work. And that was one example that he gave there, and that was one that he really kind of harped on as showing, you know, pretty blatantly he thought that they didn't understand it and they were trying to make the numbers work, when right there the information was right there in the Bible all along for us to understand. But, you know, it's when you got a guy who's already done the work and you're reading it, it's easy. But I have to really respect the scholarly way that he went about it and came up with this. So we are out of time. So tomorrow we will, and I just think it's neat the way that the Bible proves itself to be right in an area where so many point to this period of time, this part of the Bible, and say it's just full of contradictions. You know, if they couldn't even get numbers right when they were writing things down, how can we trust any of it? Well, the numbers were right. And just need to take the time to... There are a lot of times in school when I wanted the textbook to be wrong, because it's like... how to come up with that? There's a lot easier way to come up with that, but you know, it just meant I needed to take more time to understand what was going on there and understand how they arrived at that. And that's exactly the case here. So thank you very much for your attention.